The toy bar is open! Come wander on in, grab a stool, and hang out with a drink while your hosts and toy barflies, Jason Duvall and Dave Draper, discuss, argue, and celebrate their love of toys, games, and all things collectible. Brought to you by Shellhead Comics and More. This is Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles, right here on ToyWorldOrder.com and on YouTube and on iTunes and Stitcher. Not you. Well, we're on.
We're gonna have to do this a third time.
No, we're good on iTunes and Stitcher under Toy World Order and on YouTube at YouTube.com/ToyWorldOrder. Brought to you by Shellhead Comics blog at ShelleheadComics.com, the Shellhead Comics blog, and more at ShelleheadComics.com. Welcome, my forever grumpy co-host, Dave Draper.
Yay! Grumble, grumble, grumble.
Grumble, grumble, grumble.
I've been told that's someone's favorite part of the show is when I grumble. So.
It happens a lot.
Well, she's a fan.
It happens more than people know. Oh my goodness, we are back, gang, after Christmas. It's Christmas.
Yeah.
Dave and I are not surprisingly big fans of the holiday season.
I thought you were.
Reasons. I was when I was younger, but in the
everyone
years,
is when they're
well,
younger.
Well, in the years since Carrie and I have created our own little tradition of sitting on the couch in our jammies, watching movies and eating tacos on Christmas, I've come to realize, Christmas is just a day off for me and it's fun because Carrie and I don't shop for each other. Like, I bought her something this year, but we don't usually exchange gifts because since we were out year round pretty much at auctions and stuff, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, Carrie just kept telling me, she's like, you're not going to have anything to open on Christmas. I'm not getting you anything. I'm like, all right. She's like, you're not okay with it. I'm like, I'm fine with it, really. I'm okay. I'm cool. Like, I don't care. Which is why I got my my visual history of Ghostbusters and Back to the Future early and some shirts and stuff. So
Steve Scout.
And Steve Scout, yeah. So, but Christmas is come and gone. And it's,
Hooray!
Hooray indeed.
Normally, Boxing Day is my favorite day of the year.
Yay, Boxing Day!
Because it's the longest we have till more Christmas.
That's very true.
this year especially, was Phoebe Cates-worthy for me, so.
Yeah, boy, was it. But on the plus side, we had some great videos Christmas Day,
yeah,
Boxing
we did.
Day, your two-part walkthrough, which is probably about, maybe just under 3 hours worth of Dave's collection room. And surprising, everyone, of course, the comments on YouTube for those videos were pretty spectacular. I mean,
positive. Yeah.
One guy was, somebody said it looked like clutter, and that you should stop, and it just looked like clutter. And I said, well, that'll never happen, because that'll fall on deaf ears.
Yeah. He's not wrong.
Well.
Particularly when you film it. Like, that's one of the reasons I always have an issue with that. Like, particularly when you film it, it does look cluttery. Or take pictures.
Right. But it's not.
It's border.
Yeah, it's border.
It's border.
So yeah, the walkthrough, which is the first time that anyone had really seen pictures.
Recently.
Yeah, recently. So
we did one a long time ago at the other place.
Yep. But it was that was good, and then Puppet Duvall's little Christmas gift to all the fans, his
a little version of the Christmas Carol.
Yeah. Which was fun to do, and
it was awesome.
Actually, no, it wasn't.
No.
It was very stressful on both of our parts.
No, it sucked.
Because the original plan was we were going to do it in
we're going to do live
summer.
Action.
Yeah.
Well, no, we were going to do it in the spring. Like that, I don't know if we were going to film it in the spring, but it was done. The rough outline was done in before JoeCon.
Yeah.
Because I know this for a fact. Because then with JoeCon, we made a little money, and you're like, I'm gonna get a new puppet. So that got, factored into the script.
Yes. But we were going to film it then, and then we were going to... I ordered the new puppet, and then that took until September.
Took until October.
October to get here.
That showed up, the weekend at King County.
Yeah. So that was October when that got here. And then I was working a horrible... horrible
you were working FedEx, and board season 4 kind of took priority.
Yeah. So, and then after I quit FedEx and started a new job where I had regular hours.
Yeah, we weren't going to do it. We were going to call it off.
Yeah, we were going to call it off. And then I decided, I told Dave, I was like, you know what? I think we can do it. And then I brought this idea to Dave. I was like,
we filmed some of it. And your thing was, what if we did the opening in Puppet Duvall Scribbles? And I said, well, what if we did kind of the whole thing?
Yeah.
not realizing that I'd have to draw, like, well, first of all, I hadn't, like, literally I hadn't written it. Like, we had the idea for the story.
Yeah.
More or less. But, like after that, then I had to come up with the whole
the stanzas, poem. Yeah.
Yeah, basically. So I wrote that in 2 days.
Yes.
And then, like, I went to Hobby Lobby and bought a thing and
crayons.
Man, I like literally I had a daily crayon run because the black crayon just kept like breaking down
to the nub.
But like the other thing is, crayon is like the worst medium to work with. I hate it. Well, because it breaks down and then it like throws little particles off, and then if you catch that with any other color, you get these horrible smears.
Yes.
So there's like there's as many pages as I did, there are as many pages that I scrapped.
Yeah.
Yeah, we will never do one in crayon again.
No.
And then, of course, on the final day, I came up with like an actual plan to, because I was like, I had 8 pages to do, and I was doing them like one an hour, and I'm like, I'm not gonna get this done. And I came up with this idea, and like it, I got them all done within 2 hours. And I was like, oh wow.
You're like, well, crap, I should have been doing that the whole time.
Yeah, well, that's my story of my life, is I always figure out how to do it like right when it's done. You know, like I go to a strange place, a strange town, and like I have a handle on where to go and how to get there and what to do. It's always the last day. I'm like totally on top of things.
Right. And that you're like, oh, well.
And crap. It's time to go home.
Yeah. Well, crap. But no, I you did 40.
About 40 pages.
40 pages.
From 48.
Yes.
Should have been 48. Yeah. And then at one point, like early on, you can tell because there's one page that's split. Two stanzas are split. Or one stanza split in two.
Yeah.
That wouldn't happen because that was 80 pages. I'm like, that's not happening.
Yeah, it's not happening. But beautiful, beautiful pages. I mean, the actual sketchbook, you know, the images look like they're small. They're big images. I mean, Dave, I seriously want to figure out some way to get those printed into some type of book format.
And at one point, I kind of just made the decision I was going to do it like it was a book and then let you figure out how to make a video out of it.
Yes.
So.
Which I did.
And there were actually a couple pages, but one of them showed up, well, there's one page that showed up in the credits that we didn't use in the video because we had actual live action stuff for
which
it.
Was the shade. And,
which was the shade. But yeah, I put that in there anyway because I wanted, if we ever went that way, I wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I figured out a way to do it. I think it's...
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with the file. There were some issues, but that was caused by us, I think mostly by rushing it through to the end.
Yeah.
Because I was editing what I had written as I was rewriting it for the book. And yes. Rewriting it on the page.
And I had already sent the scripts off.
Yes, and you had sort of misread a lot of what I wrote. Because we had a big fight yet last week where you're like, I didn't, you never wrote that, and I showed you the text.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, well, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
So there was some miscommunication. But again, it was because we were just trying to get everything done last minute.
And there's some stuff in there that I would like to go back and editing and clean up bits and pieces of things, but...
Well, you can.
I can, but overall, I'm very, very proud with how that... I'm very happy with how it turned out. I'm pretty proud of that little 8 minutes of goofiness, because it's cute, and it's fun, and it's different from anything we've done before, and I've seen nothing but good, positive things about that, you know, crazy little Christmas special. So,
yeah.
Last year we did a variety show. This year we did a Christmas Carol.
Christmas Carol.
Who knows what we'll do next year?
I'd have to actually rewatch it, so that might be a stumbling block. But I kind of want to do, like, just a gloss on the Star Wars holiday special.
Mm.
Where Puppet Duval's trying to get back to his home planet, and he's got this whole family that we've never mentioned before. And I'm not sure if you're Han Solo or Darth Vader. I'm going back and forth on that. And then just literally, like, you know, there'll be, like, a horrible, dumb musical number in the middle of it.
Great.
And I don't know. Well, I mean, it would probably be, like, this year's where it's all art.
Right.
Rather than do it live. But that...
Yeah, doing it live would be
no,
cost prohibitive.
No.
Yeah, lots of costumes and
yeah.
locales.
Yeah. Although, to be fair, if you've ever seen a holiday special, they didn't exactly blow their budget on sets and costumes.
Yeah, no, they didn't. They didn't spend a whole lot of money on that. So. But no... been some little bits of toy news sneaking out there as we get into a couple months away from Toy Fair.
I've been... Dude, last week was all about getting that thing done, and then Christmas hit, and then this weekend hit. And so, like, now I'm just getting out of that.
Yes. It rained here horribly on Monday.
It rained... Well, it rained all weekend.
Yeah.
It rained all weekend, and then, like, the wind was really bad yesterday. It was really bad Sunday night and yesterday. And
yeah.
I had to get a guy out. Siding was coming off my house, man. A couple places. I had to get a guy out to fix that. This is bad.
Yep. Yeah, but we're back to normal.
Hopefully.
Midwest weather for the most part.
Well, I hope not, because I don't need snow.
Yeah, I know. Well, we're going to get snow one way or the other.
No!
NECA showed
Drive
off...
Drive more SUVs.
NECA showed off some upcoming 2016 product teasers, including Ash vs. the Evil Dead figures.
Okay.
Which the Ash action figure and that line will arrive in spring. We'll probably see more of it at Toy Fair, but a spectacular new old Ash, which is how Bruce looks today in the show, and it looks... Just in the hard copy they've got here, it's unpainted. It looks amazing. NECA, again, just shows why they have some of the best 6-inch sculptors around, because
they
pull it off. The little
cinema
machines of the Nostromo, the different four sides of it. The Scarface Predator. Oops.
Nope.
Coming out in the new video game Predator Concrete Jungle. The retro Leatherface figure from Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 will hit this spring. The back half of or Nathan Drake. We can see the back of Nathan Drake from Uncharted 4. And then the quarter scale Batman action figure from Batman vs. Superman.
Hmm.
So, which is the big...
The big giant ones,
Yeah. So, that's kind of cool. NECA showing off a little bit of... Little bits and pieces before Toy Fair hits. So, I'm sure we'll get a whole line of... probably 5 or 6 figures out of Ash vs. Evil Dead.
Maybe. It seems like NECA's things are like 2 or 3 figures a wave. So we'll see.
Hopefully they make the whole cast, but that show ends its season this coming Saturday. Yeah, this coming Saturday is the last episode, the 10th episode for season 1. And it's been pretty interesting. Once you put it all together, it's about, you know, a half an hour episode, and put it all together and it makes a pretty interesting little delve into the new world of Evil Dead. So...
Hmm.
It's pretty fun. Sideshows started their 12 days of Sideshow.
Okay.
Where they basically, for the next 12 days from Christmas Day on, they've introduced some new product coming up. Christmas Day, they showed off the Dark Phoenix premium format figure, which is, you know, kind of cool.
Yeah, it's a statue with cloth clothes. It's the worst of all possible worlds.
True. The 26th of December, they showed off the Star Wars 4 Lom 6 scale figure from the Star Wars line. The 27th, they showed
off... I didn't know they were still doing that.
Yeah. They showed off the little teaser for the Catwoman premium format figure.
From Returns.
From Batman Returns. And then the alien Internevectus Raptus statue.
I don't
know what that is. I'm not keen on the aliens.
I like the aliens. I don't know what that is, because I think, I can't remember, I think the next Ridley Scott one's Paradise Lost or something.
Paradise
aliens
Lost, yeah.
And then that's bumped. I guess the Blokamp one is officially scrapped?
Yeah, they approved it, and then Ridley Scott didn't want him to do it or some crazy crap, because it would interfere with what Ridley Scott wanted to do, and I don't know.
Like, who cares?
Well, apparently Ridley Scott has all the power when it comes to that line, because he created it, apparently.
Well, he didn't. Actually, Dan O'Bannon did.
I know he did, but no, Dan O'Bannon's dead.
Oh, I see how it goes.
So that's how they roll now. Hot Toys showed off some new Star Wars stuff. A 2-pack with Finn and the riot control stormtrooper.
That's a big meme on Facebook these days, is Captain Phasma going, "Everyone thought I was going to be the badass." And it's like, then I came along.
And then this guy showed up. Cool looking figures. I mean, of course, they're Hot Toys.
They're Hot Toys.
But not only that, but... I mean, the First Order, the Riot Control Stormtroopers, pretty cool looking. but then they're also releasing Finn by himself.
Well, I would assume so.
Yep. So we get a Finn, which looks amazing. looks like John Boyega.
I believe.
I got tongue-tied there. Pretty much comes with the same stuff the 2-pack comes with, a blaster rifle, the lightsaber that lights up, the lightsaber hilt, the pouch with all the bombs, a bunch of hands, and a display stand. So... nice looking figure. And I know we've already seen pictures from, I don't think they've been officially released, but of Rey and BB-8.
Yeah, I think so.
Have they?
I'm pretty sure I've seen pictures.
I gotcha. Yeah, I'd seen pictures too, but I was like, I don't think I've seen official pictures yet, so.
I don't know if they're official or not.
Yeah.
That I don't know.
So, a little bit of toy news out there at the moment.
Right.
A lot of new stuff. Movie-wise showed up this week because Entertainment Weekly released their first looks issue, which is they do it every year, and they show off upcoming movies and TV shows and stuff. And
okay.
Some of the stuff they showed off was the very first look of Benedict Cumberbatch in the Doctor Strange. That was a cover in the Doctor Strange outfit.
And it was surprisingly traditional. I think that was the big news, was it looks like Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he had this... Recently, he had this kind of more... Like a sweater and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And people are like, they're going to go that route. Nope, he's traditional.
He's got the cape and the...
Got the cape, the blue tunic.
Yep. So it's going to be very very traditional.
Like, I don't know if that movie will be good, but it'll be amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't know if it'll be quote, end quote, good, but oh, man, is it going to be, like, fun to watch.
And they brought on, was it a Game of Thrones actor as an unnamed villain? And everyone's
it's the guy, it's Hannibal.
Oh, it's Hannibal.
From the TV series.
Yes, that's right.
Mads Mikkelsen.
Thank you. And everybody, they're like an unnamed villain in the film, and everybody's like, he's going to be Dormammu. So it's like, he's got to be that character. There's no one else he could play, really.
Isn't Baron Mordru already cast?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, that was kind of cool. And some of the...
And that exhausts what I know about Doctor Strange.
Yeah, pretty much. And also one of the... They kind of hinted at... a little bit of the storyline of the new Ghostbusters film, the Kristen Wiig, Melissa McCarthy, Kate McKinnon, Leslie Jones.
They play ghosts?
Paul Feig, they do.
Ah, spoiler alert.
That
just saved me $7.
We do know that there's the lead villain in the film, played by actor Neil Casey, is named Rowan.
Wow, we're just throwing out the spoilers.
But... basically, Entertainment Weekly reports that the Ghostbusters will be facing supernatural baddies of all stripes from all eras. Dead criminals from all eras of New York's underbelly past have returned to roost among the living. Pilgrims, old-timey sailors, Revolutionary War spirits, and even a couple of zoot-suited gangsters are ready to take on four formidable female busters looking to rid the city of its phantasmic filth. A new action picture of like a fire truck, a New York fire truck flipped over on its side, and the girls walking past it, getting ready to confront something.
I'm betting a ghost.
Probably. People are still giving this movie a lot of crap, man.
Really?
People are still up. Like, everyone's like, I don't know. There was an article talking about how it was. The movie. Not only had to battle fans, but also sexist remarks. And I saw somebody like, it's not so much a sexist remark as it is, nobody likes the casting. It's just horrible casting. And it's a remake. Well, yeah, but basically your comment on the casting is still very much sexist. Because are you mad that it's women? Or are you just mad it's those women? What other women?
That's the point he's made. That's the point he's trying to make. I just don't like these women. And my guess would be that there are absolutely zero women on Earth you could cast in that movie that would make him particularly happy.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the thing. Like, I'm supremely indifferent. Because it's not gonna mess up the original film.
Still stands on its own merits.
So it'll either be a good film, which everybody wins.
Yeah.
Or it'll be horrible. A film that you forget about.
Yeah.
So, like, what's the big deal?
And I mean, Dave and I are going to go see it.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see it. It's a new Ghostbusters movie. Yeah. Whether it's all women or, you know, not.
It feels a little gimmicky to me, and I know that people resent when people say that, but it does feel a little gimmicky to me, but, you know, whatever. Yeah. If that's what you got to do, that's what you got to do.
So, that was pretty interesting.
I mean, I thought it was cute that they went the other way with Liam Hemsworth and made him kind of the nerdy...
Oh, the nerdy...
Nerdy secretary.
Yeah, the nerdy secretary. He's basically the Janine Melnitz.
He's the Janine character,
Which is kind of funny because he's this huge honking individual.
Well, yeah, that's the
that's
joke.
The joke. That he's just a big goofball nerd. Some new Batman Superman images kind of show off a very swanky Batcave, which I think we've seen the picture before.
I'm all for swank in the Batcave.
Yep. So pretty big looking Batcave.
It's a cave.
It is a cave, and it's got lots of windows and lights. The something that keeps flowing over my radar is the fact that they're making a film about the Assassin's Creed video game with Michael Fassbender.
Right.
Which you played a couple of those.
I played like 5 minutes of one of them.
that's all they needed to play.
It's basically walk to this cutscene, walk to that cutscene,
yeah,
walk to this cutscene. I'm like, do I play a game at any point in this game that I paid money for?
Yeah.
Blah.
I'm kind of sad though because it sounds like.
They cut
it the... follows Callum Lynch, the Fassbender, who discovers he's descended from a long line of assassins. Through cutting-edge technology, he's able to access his genetic memories, reliving the experiences of his ancestor, so Aguilar.
It is the stupid
Aguilar. Yes. Aguilar.
Aguilar?
A-G-U-I-L-A-R.
What happened to, I don't know, the guy who is the popular main character?
I don't know.
See, that's the scene I kept talking about last week, where we've moved to the next
article. Oh, Star Wars.
Yeah.
There were 20 scenes cut from the final cut of the film in Star Wars The Force Awakens.
I was just reading an article about how apparently that movie got, like, really heavily edited. Which may explain a lot of the problems we had with it.
It could, yes. It very well could. The original running time is about 2 hours and 40 minutes in length. That was his first cut of the movie.
No, but I mean, like, you know, I mean, we talked about how Maz was supposed to be at the Rebel base and stuff like that. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, Dimension lost the rights to the Halloween franchise. They've been spearheading it since 95, so...
Meh.
Yeah, well, good. It needs to go to someone else who maybe can... maybe make some good Halloween films? Maybe?
They made one. It was called Halloween.
Oh, yeah. It was called Halloween. And Halloween 3.
Halloween 3 was a...
Was
its own thing, which was interesting.
Yeah. Or was that Halloween 2?
Which one are you talking? The one with the masks was Halloween. It was
Halloween 3. Yep, that's what I'm thinking of.
Because they were gonna go like a anthology kind of
yes,
route, and then yes, it didn't work.
No, it did not work.
You're just skipping over stuff.
I'm getting to it.
I don't know what you're getting to.
Well, I'm waiting for stuff to load while we're sitting here discussing.
Well, because there was the Daredevil thing too.
I got it pulled up.
All right.
So yeah, there was about 20.
Hey, we mentioned him on the we recorded another Open Your Toys podcast last night specifically about Force Awakens. And, of course, the joke at the end was, what about Constable Zuvio?
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, he was a cutscene.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So, a lot of the stuff we knew about the lightsaber, General Leia, there's like 4 pages. But
well, they said 20.
Yeah, they cut quite a bit out of that film. But well,
they chopped it all up, yeah. Yeah,
but they did announce that it's coming out on Blu-ray in April.
Oh, that's pretty quick.
Yeah, Blu-ray and DVD in April. So, also the fastest film to hit $1 billion worldwide. So it broke. It continues to break just about every record out there.
And what I thought was interesting, before it hit a billion, I haven't looked recently, but when it was about 800, what was interesting is, you know how all the stuff the last couple of years has been about the international box office is more important than domestic.
Yes,
this movie's they were even. It was like international and domestic were like the exact same amount.
Yes, right now as of
Tuesday,
The domestic total is $571,420,943. The foreign is $589,700,000. So they're still a little bit ahead of us, but not by a lot.
They actually lapped us a little then.
Yeah.
They were a little behind before.
Yeah. God, the total.
It's like $1.1 billion, isn't it?
Yeah. $1,161,120,943 worldwide. It is now the number one ranking film in the Star Wars saga. Money-wise. Lucasfilm, it's the number one breaking. It is now currently the all-time domestic at number 5. So it knocked Phantom Menace out.
Good.
All-time worldwide at number 10. But yeah, dude, it just keeps killing. Record after record after record.
It's given the masses what they wanted.
Uh-huh.
Which was a Star Wars movie that didn't completely suck.
Which is funny, because I still see the argument that we talked about where everyone's like, it's cookie cutter of episode 4.
Okay, here's...
Like, dude, it was deliberate. Let it go,
Here's my take on that. Again, I brought this up on the thing last night, because I call it the bounty hunter theory.
Right.
Which is that I think the movie is sort of... people inversely enjoy the movie based on whether or not... Like, someone like you played with a Boba Fett action figure when you were a kid.
Right.
And maybe you had the robot... Maybe you had the yellow guy, Bob, or something, right? And I know you're different, a little different.
Right. No, I get what you're saying. But in general,
people who played with their Star Wars toys as a kid, and they really loved this movie. And this movie, I believe, was made for them, for you,
yes.
Guys that played with your Star Wars toys as a kid. It was not made for people who have the titaniums of Mist Hunter and Punishing One and Houndstooth.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like me. Although I like the film. I think it was made less for the hardcore nerds than for the larger population that has very fond memories of Star Wars.
Yes, I agree.
And I think your enjoyment is sort of inversely proportional to how obsessed you were with the franchise, which is why people can't get over that it's, you know, the story's basically, kind of a carbon copy of Episode 4.
Yeah.
But as you know, I mentioned last week, that stuff is all really in the background of the big finale. Like, in the first movie, in episode 4, it was the main thing. You got to knock out the Death Star.
Right.
And this one, that's, I mean, it's going on in the background, and then the main thing is the characters and the lightsaber fights and the interpersonal relationships. So I'm fine. I mean, I wish, you know, I'm not going to say that I didn't take points away for doing that, but I'm interested to see them do something new from here on out.
One of the other things Entertainment Weekly showed off was our first look at
why don't you marry him?
At John Berthal as the Punisher in Daredevil Season 2.
Apparently he's got Daredevil tied up.
Which is a throwback to a Frank Miller story where the Punisher...
as opposed to everything else.
The Punisher was going to kill someone and he had knocked out Daredevil and then chained him to a wall. And basically he gave him a gun and said, you can either kill me or you can watch me kill someone.
Wow. That sounds like Frank Miller.
Yeah, and Daredevil actually, you know, fought his morals of, do I kill this man because I don't want to kill people.
Wasn't Daredevil killing people left and right the first season?
I don't remember. I didn't make it all. I haven't made it all the way through season.
Oh, haven't you?
Yeah, I haven't gone back and watched it yet.
Yeah.
So, but I know in the comic that Daredevil finally makes the decision to kill Punisher, except the gun doesn't have a firing pin in it.
Yeah.
So he watches Punisher kill this guy. Who was a bad guy, but still.
What a jerk. Yeah, the Punisher only kills bad guys.
Yeah, so.
Mostly.
It'd be interesting to see Punisher on screen and how they work that.
Yeah, thank God we're finally getting a Punisher movie, or a Punisher on screen.
Well,
Isn't this like the third version of him?
Yes, but hopefully, I don't know.
Well, there was Lundgren, and then there were two Punisher movies.
Thomas Jane Punisher was always good.
I haven't seen any of them.
Thomas Jane was good.
I'm not that big a fan of the character, to be honest. I mean, I'm excited to see him on Daredevil, because I liked Daredevil, but I think he works better as a secondary kind of antagonist.
Yeah, and then we get a look at Elodie Young as Elektra.
Yeah, apparently Frank Miller said, I don't know who that is, but that's not Elektra.
Yeah. Again, it's Frank Miller, and he's never been happy with anything that's ever been on screen that he's done.
Including RoboCop 2, which he actually did do.
She actually wrote.
Directed.
Directed. Frank Miller is a weird, weird guy.
He's lost it along the way.
Yeah, a little bit. A lot of bit.
Well,
yeah. A whole lot.
I am legitimately surprised people are as excited for the third Dark Knight series as they are. Like, it's like, did you not read the second one?
Yeah. It's like, what?
It's awful.
Yeah, no, it's not great. not great.
No. What are we doing now?
I was just looking to see if there was any other news that we missed. Ooh, there's a 21-minute X-Files featurette.
I thought that came and went already.
No, it's not. It'll be...
What is the one that came... There was one that just came... Oh, Heroes came and went.
Heroes came and went, but that was a limited... That was supposed to come and go. That wasn't...
I think X-Files was supposed to come and go, too. I thought that was a miniseries.
No, it is, but it hasn't happened yet. Okay. It's happening in 2016 sometime, yeah.
Whatever.
So, yeah.
They pooched that one in the last couple of years.
Yeah?
Yeah, they should have. The problem is they come up with these ideas and they don't know what they're really doing and they hit something and then they're like, well, let's just flounder around for 6 or 7 years.
True. True.
Let's make a couple movies.
Let's make a couple flicks. Anybody want to make some movies? No? Yeah?
Okay. Well, the first one was interesting. At least the first one was tied into the mythology. The second one was like a... When you're doing a movie based on a TV show, never do one that's basically just an episode.
Yes.
That's terrible.
Yeah, that's not ever a good thing at all.
That's how you get Star Trek Insurrection. Or the second X-Files movie.
The second X-Files movie. Oh, gosh. Which, again, not a great movie. Hey, Game of Thrones, the new season. Bran Stark's coming back.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why are you going, uh-huh? Well, he never died.
No, I know, but he...
He kind of got, I mean...
Well, apparently in the books, like, they used him to a certain point, and then he just goes away. Like,
he doesn't go away, it's just that Martin's like, I came up with this idea, and now I don't know how to, like, do it. Because he's, like, got this weird...
Because he was on a quest outside the...
He went over the wall. He went north.
Him and Hodor,
and the two weird, I don't even know if they're elves, or if they're just weird swamp kids... I don't know what their deal is, but they went north, and they ran into the guy that they didn't even use on the show, Cold Hands, or Cold Heart? Which everyone thinks is his uncle, who's like a white, but he's a good guy white.
Huh.
And like, they didn't use him on the show at all, and everyone's like, oh, I guess his character's not important.
Interesting.
But there's like a tree, and they went, oh, that's where they met the elves. They went inside the tree, and there are still elves living in the tree. And Bran has now bonded with the tree, so like all these, because throughout the series they've mentioned that there are these trees that have like faces.
Right.
They're, like, worshipped or whatever.
Yeah.
There's, like, one in King's Landing, and he can, like, actually, like, see through the tree's eyes and talk to the trees, and I don't know. Like I said, I think
they
Martin
gave up.
Here's the thing. I think Martin got to the part where he's like, maybe this is a little weird. I don't know what I'm doing now. I think I'll just not.
Martin got to the point where
he
like,
said that. He said like, he did not know what he was doing. He's like, I kind of had an idea, but it's just, I didn't know where to go with it. It's just like, too weird. That's why I haven't been doing him.
He's like, I screwed the pooch on this.
I'm going to mess this up a little. Now I'm kind of committed to it.
Yeah. I'm kind of committed to this idea now. Crap.
That's why it's taken 20 years to write the next book.
Yeah. Yeah. But I guess they were talking.
But yeah, Bran's coming back, so they're going to do something with him. Well, I figured he would be. I mean, if the TV show is at all going to be close to what the book story was, he was going to be significant to the resolution of the story.
Right.
He was set up too importantly. I mean, I get that it's. Martin loves to do that to you, to set something up and then kind of go, ha ha.
But yeah.
Just, it seemed too big. All right, what do we
I agree. Now? I don't know. I was like, we're running out of stuff to talk because it was just the Christmas, and we're like, nothing exciting has happened, really.
Actually, no. I had a lovely brunch, and then I went home, and it just turned to poop.
It turned to poop pretty quick for me.
It pretty much pooped all the way up till about yesterday when I recorded that podcast, and then I got to talk about Star Wars for 2 hours.
True.
Which was nice.
Which was always nice.
Yeah. Like, pop vinyls for Steven Universe,
which I have no idea what that is.
It's a show on Cartoon Network.
Is it from the same creator as Adventure Time?
I think her name's Rebecca Sugar. She worked on Adventure Time. She was one that did all the musical episodes.
I can tell because the character designs are very Adventure Timey.
Well, they're kind of Adventure Timey. It's a really big thing. It's a very progressive. It's really well done, but it's got an interesting thing going on.
I got to tell you this. Carrie and I were out day after Christmas. Went to Target.
Good story.
Well, I had money to blow, and I was like, "Oh, well, I'm gonna go buy some Lego Dimension stuff." But
yeah, you told me you bought stuff. Yeah,
while we were there, I bought. They sell exploding kittens there.
Oh, the card game. Well, yeah, okay.
And I bought the not safe for work version.
Okay.
Which is pretty disgusting and hysterical all at the same time.
Okay.
And Carrie and I spent like a good hour and a half just playing game after game of that because the games go, especially with two players, the games go pretty quick. And it's fun. It's one of those games where it's a great party game, but it's.
Well, I've got an actual copy of the actual Cards Against Humanity.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
I didn't know you had that.
I just got it.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Did you get the big black box?
It's a box. It's black. I don't know if there's a bigger box. I don't have the expansion set. I just have the basic set.
Somebody gave it to you for Christmas, or
I might have gotten it for myself for Christmas.
Oh, there you go.
Oh no, actually, technically, it was kind of a Christmas present because I used a gift card.
Oh, there you go.
An Amazon gift card.
Well, heck, see, now we've got exploding kittens, and because I've never played Cards Against Humanity, and
I've never played it either.
I want to play it really badly.
I want to know what it was.
Apparently,
and you'll get to go first because the person who goes first is the person who pooped last.
Oh, that would be me.
That would
be me.
That'll be you.
Apparently, some of those. I don't know if that's all of them, but apparently, if you open the top of the box for Cards Against Humanity, there's actually if you. Slit the inside of the box, like the inside of the top of the box, there's a card hidden inside the box.
I did not know that.
I think it's the biggest, blackest card or something like that.
Okay.
It was, I saw that and was like, oh, I was
kind
like,
of wish you hadn't told me that because now I'm going to go deface my property.
I know, right? Bigger, blacker box, I think, is the one it's in, maybe.
Well, okay, mine's not called that.
No.
I don't think so.
Yeah, there's a card hidden inside the biggest blacker box, and it's basically the biggest blackest insert male anatomy here.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to play that because my God, do I want to play that game?
I thought I had mentioned that.
No, you had not.
All right, that's happened.
That's got me excited because
probably filmed it during the walkthrough and didn't even notice.
Maybe. I don't know. Possibly.
Well, it's been a busy couple weeks.
Oh, apparently. Well, what do you say we segue into some fan questions?
No.
For the last show of 2015.
Nope, they've been bad this year. They get a lump of coal.
That's not true, dude. There's been people said great things. Like Josh Flood said an amazing thing about
who.
Never heard about of him. About the fan group, which
oh, about the fan group, yeah. Ooh, the fan group. We don't have anything to do with that.
Well, we did and we didn't. I mean, We do now. I mean, we pretty much have...
Pat themselves on the back. Yeah, we're so awesome. Hooray!
We did it! But where is it? I'm looking for the...
thread?
Yeah, I know it's in here because... there it is.
How much garbage do you...
Dude, I get so many, like, discussion things all the time. It's ridiculous. Josh Flood actually said... last night, he said, yet again, braving out into the other toy groups in Facebook land, and I'm again able to validate this as the best, most civil, and most fun toy collecting group out there. Thank you all for not being a bunch of words that only the Hoff uses after a rough night. And Nisa, who's a good friend of ours, said, right, I've been a part of other communities where I'm convinced they only exist to demean each other. And Josh goes on to saying, demean each other.
Go back and make me a sandwich, woman.
And demean each other about the most irrational things to be upset over. This group welcomes the
normal. I don't like your hat, Flood.
This group welcomes the normal, the bizarre, and the obscure, and that just describes the founders, which I thought was rather touching.
I don't like your hat either.
Oh, I don't like...
I'm kidding.
I don't like your Night Force button. Ooh. How about that? Yeah, what do you think about that? Yeah, huh? Huh, bird!
It hurts, actually.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, but just it's still cool to me that, you know,
that Dan slums in our group, like, you know.
Oh yeah, no, well, yeah, and even Danny's come out.
No, I know that's what
without,
I love is
without us, like, poking at him. He's like, "This is the best toy group I've ever been a part of."
Like,
because Dan's seen his fair share of toy drama too, and he's just like, "Ugh." Yeah. And this group is just very much like, you know.
It's very chill. People want to just kind of talk and have fun about toys and not really get wrapped up in the nonsense.
Yeah, and anytime the nonsense starts, guess who shoots it down?
Usually you.
Yeah. Boy, do I. Pretty dang quick. But it also created one of the greatest threads ever, where Dave just said, send us money, and then Danny put his P.O. box.
Put his P.O. box.
Yep.
I almost posted again saying, no, I changed my mind. Send us live poisonous snakes.
You should have.
I think the thread moved a little quickly there for me.
Oh my god, it was pretty pretty spectacular.
Also, I didn't want anything to happen to Spencer.
That's true. Danny actually get a live venomous snake.
I
and then boy, are we in trouble.
It's all fun and games until someone gets venom in the eye.
They sent me a cobra. I hate you guys. Oh, crap!
It was a joke.
It was a joke.
I thought that was obvious.
It was obvious on our end.
I noticed you cast the checks that other people sent.
Speaking of niece of interest, she says, Star Wars aside, what's been your guys' favorite collector/nerd moment of the year?
Gorilla City was kind of a big one for me, from Flash.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
When Groth goes through the portal and it's Gorilla City. I mean, it was a little more primitive than I would have liked a Gorilla City to be, but it was Gorilla City.
So
that was a big nerd moment.
Yeah.
Trying to think. You know, it's funny. I don't know if we'll get another question like this, but a friend of mine was asking me, you know, rank the movies. Because that's his thing. He's like, rank the movies you saw this year.
Right.
And I thought about it for a minute. I don't know about a ranking, but, like, the theme was disappointment.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I was kind of disappointed in Jurassic World. I liked it okay, but I was disappointed by Jurassic World. I was disappointed by Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
I liked Force Awakens, but, you know... I don't know. I liked it well enough. I'm more excited about the next one, which is sort of a compliment and a meh.
True.
I can't even remember. Like I think the best film of the year for me was Mad Max.
Yes.
That's like the only one that I can think of. And then Ant-Man. It was like Mad Max and Ant-Man are my top two films.
Which is really kooky.
Yeah.
My favorite collector nerd moment of this year. Probably my favorite collector moment was finishing up Police Academy. And then also turning around and pretty much finishing up Filmation Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Which I did right before Christmas, which I have to figure out how to get it here. But yeah. It's done. It's a done deal. It's a done deal as in it's paid for. It's a done deal.
Yeah, I was pretty happy to finish off that Star Trek motion picture line.
Yeah,
that
was a
big one.
Yep. The Beetlejuicing was a big get for you this year. So, yeah. I don't know if I have a favorite nerd moment, really. You know what I do, actually? There was a little, minute and a half spot on the CW focusing on the upcoming second half of the season for Flash. And they showed not only the return of Reverse Flash,
Yeah, I heard they're bringing back Thawne.
Yeah, so Thawne's coming back, but also Caitlin Snow as Killer Frost. And I was like, oh!
Well, they've been promising her for a while, yeah.
But showing her, and she's just this clip of her going, evil is so much better.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, oh, this is going to be amazing. I can't wait.
Jason's all... His jeans are tight.
Yeah.
Goodness.
I think that was my favorite nerd moment, though, because I saw that the other day, and I was like... And the Deadpool trailer.
Yeah.
The Deadpool trailer is, it makes me very excited, because I know that film's going to just be...
It'll be stupid fun.
It's going to be stupid fun. But,
stupid, hyper-violent fun.
Yes, yes. And I like that they show that Colossus apparently plays a big part in the film.
I don't know if he plays a big part, but he's got a scene.
They've said he plays a pretty decent chunk of the film.
Yeah.
So, because, the girl,
Negasonic War, Teenage War.
Yes. She is apparently his, he is her teacher, apparently.
Okay.
So it's, I don't know how her and Deadpool end up together, but.
Because he's cooler than Colossus. Cooler
than Colossus, true.
And I like Colossus, but I'm just. It's Deadpool's movie, so Deadpool is cooler than Colossus.
Is it wrong that I'm excited we finally have a Russian Colossus for once? Because he spoke in the trailer.
He was
Russian.
He sounded Russian. Wow, I don't remember him from the
movies. He wasn't Russian. He wasn't Russian? No, he was an American kid. He had a Russian name, but he had no Russian accent. So it's nice to finally have an actual Russian Colossus.
I guess, yeah. I thought of that.
Our buddy Robert Dale Owens Jr. says, why does no one collect Sahara figures but me?
That movie sucked.
Yeah, it was not a great movie, Robert. I'm sorry. Actually, I didn't know they made figures until I saw this, and I had to go because he actually typed Sarah figures, and our buddy Jeff May was like, Sarah Palin figures? He's like, nope, wrong one, Sahara figures.
Yeah.
I was like, they made Sahara figures?
I knew that. It was 21st century, and they were basically the same as their small-scale military figures.
Yes.
Which I have one or two of. Ironically, I'm not a huge fan. My mother was a bigger fan of Clive Cussler.
Yes.
And I've read several of the books, and I read Sahara. So in my head, you know, like, Dirk Pitt is not Matthew McConaughey.
Right.
And Al Giordano is not. I read, because of this question, I looked up on Wikipedia and read a little bit. Like, they literally said they could not cast Al. Because he's like this big Italian. I mean, he's the muscle.
Right.
He's the big guy.
Right.
He's, you know, like Brad Garrett should play him.
Oh, yeah.
With a mustache or something. And they cast Steve Zahn.
Yeah.
Like, you do not cast Steve Zahn for that. It's like Steve Zahn playing a Wookiee. You do not cast him for that role.
Steve Zahn was hot at the time, man.
Okay, but that's what's wrong with that movie.
They also made some 12-inch figures, too.
Apparently.
Which I didn't know, but yeah, they made a
Gen 4. I didn't know.
Yeah. They made a lot of 12-inch figures, really bad-looking 12-inch figures, but...
Well, that's probably the other reason people don't collect them.
Yeah. It's on Entertainment Earth. This item is not for sale. Aw, womp, womp, womp.
Yeah. You can chat with a real person and say, where's my Sahara toys at?
Why ain't you got no Sahara toys, sucka fool?
How come I can't get no Sahara around here?
Yeah, honestly. And it looked like it was a very small line. It looked like it was two figures in a vehicle.
It was like four figures in a vehicle. Yeah. And I guess I didn't even know about the 12-inch figures until you just now called those up.
Yeah, so... as soon as we looked at it, I just looked at Dave earlier before we recorded because I was like, what the heck is it? Like, they made figures for Sahara, and we looked it up and was like, oh, learned something new every day.
Yep.
It's like, I actually did not know that.
I did.
They thought that was going to be a big, big deal. It was a big summer release. I remember that. I've never seen it.
Like, especially the early part of the book, you can kind of see where they thought it would be. Because I mean, it almost starts out like a zombie movie.
Oh, yeah.
People are being poisoned, and, and I'm like, wow, this is exciting. And then it kind of... It does the Clive Cussler thing where it goes into, hey, look, it's this battleship from the Civil War that's in the middle of the desert and a secret plot with Abraham Lincoln. I'm like, zombies.
Yeah.
I want the zombies.
Why did we go to National Treasure from zombies?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was kind of an ersatz National Treasure.
Interesting.
Detour.
Jeff May asks, what is on your list of must-have or finds for the upcoming year?
Butt old Han Solo.
Dave wants a butt old Han Solo.
I want both of them.
6-inch and three-quarter?
And three-quarter. Yeah. And if they do a 4-inch Black Series, I really, really want that one.
Yeah.
But old Han Solo.
Dave wants but old Han Solo. I don't really have anything on my want list.
You don't do new stuff.
No, but I've got some vintage stuff of mine that I'm still kind of want to hunt for. And although, as I was... I cleaned up the basement over the weekend because Carrie didn't have a place to... Like an area to work out. And I didn't do a walkthrough this year because Dave can attest to the fact that the basement down here had been a disaster zone.
Yeah, it's been a little
bit of a... It looked like a demilitarized zone down here for quite a while. Actually, pretty much all summer, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I finally got around the other night, the other day, to come down here for like 5 or 6 hours and just pick up and move things and clean things up.
A lot of it was you kept holding back stuff to film Collector's Expansion.
Yes. And I put, if you notice, when we go to film later, I had stuff on the table, underneath the table we usually
have. Yeah, constantly.
Yeah, and that's pretty much clean now. It's just a few things.
I did not notice that, but it will be welcome when we film.
Yes, so I cleaned up quite a bit of that and cleaned up a lot of the stuff. But as I was cleaning, I was looking around going, I got too much shit. And I'm going to leave that in. Yeah, I got too much shit. Just too much. Like, I'm like, I don't know. It's not really anything I want to buy because I don't really have room for the stuff I have now. I'm like, what am I going to do? And I just sold off a bunch of stuff, like to Shellhead Comics to pay for the Filmation Ghostbuster stuff that's paid off for. Because I'm like, I don't know if I want to part with anything else, or so I really don't have anything that I'm.
You don't want to get the Ghostbusters, the Lego headquarters?
No.
Really?
I'd like to see it in person.
All right.
I'd like to play with it. I don't necessarily want to own it, because I don't even... Where am I... I've got Legos sitting in front of you that I haven't found a home for.
Okay, I'm just asking. But these are Guardians of the Galaxy that we're looking at. I mean, it's Ghostbusters, right?
Well, and I bought those on clearance at Target for $20.
So. I'm just throwing it out there. I know you want to get the Diamond Select figures.
I do want to get the Diamond Select. You know what? That might be on my list. I'm waiting for the
and specialty. I bet when they do the girl Ghostbusters figures, which someone will do. I think Mattel's doing them. You'll look at them.
I do want the Diamond Select ones from the specialty stores. I know they're out in Toys R Us now, but they come without the diorama piece. And I want the diorama pieces. And yes, the figures are like $12.99 at Toys R Us. I know they're pretty, they're not expensive, but the specialty store ones are like $34.99 because of the diorama piece.
Gazooks.
Yeah, and I kind of want those because I want the diorama piece because it forms Gozer's Palace.
Gotcha.
So once
Makes sense. Once you
put everything together. So that's kind of what I'm looking for. So, Jonathan Cornelius says, is there a chance that Mara Jade could be Rey's mother? What are your thoughts?
There's a chance.
Craig Lambert kind of answers that in the comment section on there, but there is a chance, but it just depends because...
Here's the thing, it won't be Mara Jade that we know. You know of from the books, because that book also involves Jason and Janna being born.
Yes.
So by definition, they'll have to change that part of it. But I mean, it could be a character called Mara Jade.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'll throw out enough fan service like that.
Especially since that has to tie in with the expanded universe, and that's all.
You can just have it be... frankly, that whole storyline could just be kind of split off and be its own thing.
Right.
You know, I mean, you could be a jerk and just rewrite that storyline from the Zahn trilogy as its own thing. I think, though, it's too loaded, because it does have expectations of the expanded universe.
Right.
And I mean, she is a fan-favorite character, but I just don't think they'll go that route.
Right.
I don't even think they'll name her on film.
No, probably not. I'd be surprised if they do.
Although, I mean, you know, I guess they're bringing back Ford for the 8th film, so yes. I guess there'll be flashbacks aplenty.
Could be. Randy RC says, what are some good dinosaur toys that would be good for a 4-year-old? We have some of the newer Jurassic World figures. All the Imaginext stuff that's dinosaur?
Yeah.
That's probably the best option.
For at retail, yeah. I mean, if you're going to toy shows, definitely dinosaurs.
Yeah. Those are probably the best.
Because that's what they were built. They were designed.
They were designed. For yep. Tony Hernandez says, hope you all had a good Christmas and soon to come Happy New Year. Question is, other than toys, what else would you guys dive right into to collect till completion?
To completion?
Yeah.
Nothing.
No, yeah, no. I've delved into pretty much everything, Tony. I have buttons and posters and I sold a bunch of my movies off, but... movies and comics, and I had video games at one point. And
yeah, that's my thing, is the stuff that I would probably like collect in lieu of toys. I don't know that there's an end game to those. Yeah, you know what I mean?
No.
Like even I don't necessarily mean like buying them forever, but like movie soundtracks. I'd like to get some movie soundtracks on CD.
Yes,
that's my thing now. Is I kind of would like to get stuff on hard copy, because that's... the world is moving against me, so everything's freaking online and streamed.
Yeah, everything is becoming digital.
One bad computer or thunderstorm away, and you have nothing.
It's true.
Hey,
but there's the cloud. You can put it all in the cloud, Dave.
But you can't access it if something happens.
That's true.
So yeah, it would be like maybe DVDs, CDs.
You know, I thought about it, and while they still make them, they're not as they don't make as many of them. But I would go back and buy a lot of the. I don't know if I'd collect till completion because they made a lot of bad ones, but movie trading card sets.
Oh yeah. I've got a ton of them. You've dabbled with an interest in that, yeah. Every now and then.
You know, if I find sets for cheap, which I did at King County, I found a bunch of. Like, a dealer just had a bunch of completed sets, like, he was, like, just blowing out for...
Yeah.
It was, like, $5-$10 a pop, and I'm like, well, yes, I will take them. But I think that would be something, like, there'd be a certain... there'd be a method to the madness, but it wouldn't be to completion, because they... I know Topps released a new line of Star Wars Force Awakens cards, which...
Yeah.
I meant to tell you, have you seen those? The new training cards for The Force Awakens.
I've seen some.
Target has them in a little, in the back near the toys, near the, like, they have a little section of card games back there with the board games.
All right.
And they have a little thing that's like...
With, like, games in the front, too.
Yes, but this was actually...
I saw this
in the back.
I hear you.
It's in this, like, little box, and it's a pegged item. And the cards, they made all the cards fit in with the original
70s I've seen cards. That. When I go to Walgreens looking for that Darth Vader figure, I've seen, they have, like, packs. The card at the top of the pack looks like the classic vintage card.
I thought that was kind of cool. I'm like, bravo, Topps.
Yeah.
Like, that's neat. Pretty friggin' cool. And you bought a book.
I bought a book that's a collection of from the first film, from A New Hope, that's all the series.
For the Topps cards.
The Topps cards, yeah.
And the story behind it.
And the story behind it, because it's written by one of the guys that worked on the line. So there's, like, a story behind some of the cards and why images got used and didn't get used, because they weren't allowed to use Cantina, they didn't have special effects shots.
Yeah, yeah.
At least until, like, the later series, you know, and then they're like, well, what do we do? Because
they went, like, 5 series of Star Wars cards. 7, yeah.
7. Gee.
And that was even before Empire cards.
Yeah,
that was
that's all New Hope.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You know, there is one thing that I would like to collect to completion, which is old like D&D modules, old AD&D modules.
Yeah.
I would love to have all of them.
Yeah.
And speaking of which, because I conveniently enough, it's a segue. Today, the Tuesday of recording this is Benjamin Scott Spencer's birthday.
It is Benjamin Scott Spencer's birthday, and
so happy birthday!
Yeah,
happy birthday, Ben.
You wished him a happy birthday on Facebook, and
I did.
Shared the classic Michael Jackson video, Ben.
The two of us need look no more. We both found what we were looking for.
Oh, a song about the rat invasion of New York City.
Yep, a love song about the rat.
Yes, exactly.
New York City.
And I wished him a happy womb liberation day. Viva la afterbirth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
But yes, it is Benjamin Scott Spencer's birthday. Yeah. So happy birthday, Ben.
Happy birthday, Ben.
John Cooks is not really a question, but wanted to let you know that the Puppet of All Christmas Carol was genius. Thank you.
Obviously.
Pretty much all the credit goes to Dave.
Clearly.
Well, I get credit for making it a presentable product in the end for video, but... I take very little...
I took this garbage that Dave vomited upon my feet, and I fashioned it.
No, well, I was texting Dave during that. Well, I did afterwards, but I was like, I changed my mind so many times on how I wanted to present different things. Like, I would do it one way, and I would play it, and I'd go, well, and I'd go, what if I did it like this? And I'd do it another way and play it, and go, well, what if I do it like this? I probably sat there Christmas Day, that evening from, like, 6 p.m. until it was well after 3 a.m., I think,
yeesh,
when I finally was like, well, I've got 2 shots left to do. I'm going to bed. Because I was just like, I kept changing my mind. I'm like, I just kept wanting to do things differently. So, but Dave gets all the credit for that, because his art is what really, really made that. And the stanzas that he wrote are really what sells the whole thing. So, I can just take credit for the green screen work.
Yeah.
That's all I can take credit for. I did pretty good, I think.
Yeah.
Actually,
the one shot that I was worried wouldn't work worked
with the
really
shade.
Well. Yeah, with the shade worked really well.
Yeah, I found a nice little cemetery background and some thunder and some kooky music and put it together. Turn it around behind me, I apologize. Getting good. The redhead is downstairs and Dash is in his bed. He was just sound asleep. And she's like face to face with him.
I woke him up.
She woke him up. But John goes on to say, also, since you've now upgraded the puppet, you should now get an estimate on how much a full body Bigfoot suit puppet would cost for Danny Eardley to wear. I'm thinking of something like Sweetums from the Muppets. He goes, I'd donate to that Kickstarter. I thought about it. I'm like,
Danny's actually kind of short.
Yeah, Danny is. Danny actually, yeah, he's shorter than I. I mean,
we'd be better off getting a full body, like a bodysuit for the puppet for him.
No.
Oh, he's not. Well, the new puppet's pretty big.
Yeah, the new puppet's pretty big.
Is where I was going with that. Yeah. It was not quite. He's not that short, but the new puppet's pretty big.
I had thought about in the past of like
seriously
finding some way to physically represent Bigfoot in shots.
I am sure there is. If we went on eBay, there'd be like a Harry and the Hendersons Don Post mask.
Probably.
It's probably expensive now.
Yes, but. Probably is. Josh Flood says, Floor Burger here. Seems like the Kickstarter action figure craze is starting to slow down. It had some steam, but with delays from some lines and
just
the
failure... got my shipping notice for the next wave of Marauders.
Yep.
Oh, please continue, Floor Burger.
And the failure of others that well may have dried out. However, after receiving a 3D printing pin for Christmas and seeing some small 3D printers at Toys R Us, do you foresee 3D printing to be the dominant independent toy producer? I think we talked about this. We discussed this a while ago, I think, on one of the shows.
I think with Aranya. Yeah.
With Aranya. Yeah. And I have to disagree with anything. I don't see 3D printing taking over this independent action figure world at all. And I think Aranya, even if I remember right, he said that it's just you can't match the level of quality and detail that you could out of a factory right now. Like
right now,
the technology
isn't
there. It may be there one day, but it's not there now.
Yeah, it's not there now,
and it's not going to be there anytime soon.
No.
So until that happens, you're not going to see anything of that shape. So. Glenn Johnson says, if you could take one alien species from Star Trek and put them in Star Wars, which would it be, and which do you like more, pudding or Jell-O? I like
pudding.
I like pudding.
Nisa kind of jumped on this one, because I would say...
Klingons versus the Mandalorians?
Well, I don't know about versus Mandalorians, but yeah, the Klingons are my favorite Star Trek species, and I think they'd be an interesting addition. Plus, if you're uber nerd and read all the technical manuals in the books, their technology is about equivalent to what Imperial technology is,
right,
weapons-wise.
And actually, for those of you wondering, Dave is actually looking up Bigfoot masks on eBay.
There's a full suit.
Oh, it's kind of scary looking. Well, we don't want a scary Bigfoot.
Oh, don't we?
Well, no. We want him lovable and huggable. And
well, that's huggable.
That's not huggable. That's
you would trust your kids to that thing.
No, that's friggin' scary.
Well, that's a monkey. Okay.
Yeah, well, now we're getting into monkey territory.
Well, now we're getting into the suggestions.
I don't know. See, that's the problem with this question for me is I don't know enough about Star Trek to really have any
opinions.
Yeah,
fair enough.
Yeah, I don't. I know Klingons and I know the Ferengi, and that's about it, and the Borg, and that's about it.
I mean, those would all be interesting additions.
Yeah,
the Gorn.
The Gorn would be very interesting.
I feel like he would be. You know, we've already got the Trandoshans, so
yes. I don't have an answer for that. That's all Dave.
Okay. So, I would probably say Klingons. Borg would be kind of a cool... You know, that was the thing about the expanded universe forever, was like there were like three stories, and one of them was alien species invades the galaxy.
Yeah.
And that'd be a good one, to have the Borg.
Yeah.
I remember talking to this girl once, and she, like, in some book, they called Darth Vader a Borg. Ooh. Just like as a cyborg.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's what they meant, as a cyborg.
Right.
But boy, she was mad. She's like, he's not a Borg, blah, 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 the Borg of this. And I'm like, I think they just meant cyborg.
Yeah, I think they just meant cyborg.
Which he is.
Yeah.
I think you're reading too much into that.
Skinny North says, what was your favorite finds of the year?
We already talked about the Beetlejuicean.
Yep.
At King County.
Captain Harris.
Yeah.
Yep. It was a nice little find. Steve Scout. My Steve Scout is one of my favorite finds this year.
I didn't find them. They were found for me, but the 4-inch Force Awakens Walmart Black series.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I love those figures. Yeah. Are great.
Yeah.
They're fantastic action figures from the new movie, and yeah. I love them.
Yep. Travis Feller says, with 2015 coming to a close, what were your biggest surprises in toys and your biggest disappointments?
Avengers Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
For disappointments.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't quite as awful as
Guardians
of the Galaxy, but it was still kind of a letdown.
Pretty terrible.
They were pretty mediocre. But at least it was something, which, again, is better than what we got for Guardians.
Yes.
But you got the Legends and the Shut up.
Shush.
Shut your hole. terms of, like, I don't know. What other surprises did we... I was surprised to find the Batman vs. Superman figures on the pegs right before Christmas.
Yeah, that was fun. Dave was very excited about that.
Yeah, it was fun checking out.
Yeah.
Because I was like, these are going to ring up. And he's like, yeah. And then I get the register.
They didn't ring up. Yeah. No. No, not at all.
Got him out, though.
Yep.
Boy, which is why when people were asking, where'd you get him? I'm like, yeah, I got him somewhere. I don't want to get people in trouble. Don't think I'm supposed to have these.
No, but they're pretty much hitting everywhere now. They're,
are they?
Yeah, they're on.
Well, it's the first. I mean, it's like 2 days.
Yeah. biggest surprises for me and biggest disappointments.
Biggest disappointment. Oh, I did biggest disappointments.
Yeah. My biggest disappointment was...
there was an onion tied in my belt.
And there's an onion tied in your belt. I think my biggest disappointments was seeing pictures of the Diamond Select Mini Mates Muppets line and going, that's not good, guys. That maybe you shouldn't release those. And then they released them.
Would you say that that was your biggest disappointment? Or when they, what is it, Funko? Who's doing the Muppets line?
Diamond Select.
And they're not in scale with the...
Yeah, they're not in scale to Palisades.
Yeah, would you say that was a pretty big disappointment?
That was a pretty big disappointment that Diamond didn't go that route, knowing that...
If there are people like you.
Yeah, and knowing that if we make these in scale with Palisades, we'll probably sell a crap ton of them, even to people who already have these characters, because, the Kermit, the only Kermit they ever released, regular Kermit from Palisades in Wave 1, is an awful figure. He doesn't stand.
It's okay. Mine stands fine.
His legs are all funky.
Okay.
I
don't know what you did to yours.
Well, mine's always been that way. Yeah, I was very upset when they announced they were going to be same scale, and I was like, well, that sucks. Because I'm not going to buy a different scale Muppets line just so I can, because they're going to be bigger.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, I'm okay with that. Surprises.
I was surprised. I mean, honestly, I was surprised we got a 4-inch Star Wars line.
Yeah, that was surprising.
I was a little sweating that for a while.
Because we didn't know.
They were kind of drifting away from that for a while.
Yeah. Camus Clark says, hey guys, what movie toys and events are you looking forward to next year?
We keep getting the same question over and over again. Do people not read everyone else's questions?
As always, keep up the great work and this amazing show. Happy New Year.
Others didn't wish us a Happy New Year.
That's right.
So.
You
get a gold star, A.
Civil War.
Oh yeah, absolutely Civil War. Like that's my top movie I'm looking forward to.
I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to Deadpool in a couple months. I'm interested to see what they do with Batman vs. Superman Part 1.
These are all films I will go see.
Yep.
What is it? Like, X-Men Apocalypse.
X-Men Apocalypse.
I want to see. Kinda. Doctor Strange is this year, right?
Doctor Strange.
It's the Ant-Man slot, I believe.
Possibly.
I don't know who the Ant-Man slot is.
Thor Ragnarok.
They haven't even started filming that yet, though. I mean... I think it's Doctor Strange. I think we had this conversation, and I was proven right last time.
Probably.
Yeah. I would say Doctor Strange if it comes out this year. If Thor Ragnarok, if it comes... Like, the second Marvel slot, I'm interested... Both those films I'm actually interested in.
Yeah.
True. Wow, it's sad. Like, I mean, Rogue One, I'm interested in, kind of.
Until we see an actual trailer.
Well, then I'll probably be slightly more interested in.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I want the back half of Flash I'm excited for.
Yes,
Because I'm hoping it picks up a little. I'm hoping that now we've got all the nonsense out of the way, Flash can kind of concentrate on being Flash.
Yes.
And not last season or Legends of Tomorrow. And then Arrow's been pretty solid, so I'm excited to see...
What they do. Yep.
Wow, other than that, I mean, I've kind of stopped watching Gotham.
I've got all 11 episodes on the DVR and haven't watched them.
Yeah, I lost interest.
Yeah, it's what I hear from a lot of people. Carrie keeps going, are you going to delete these or watch them? I'm like, I haven't decided yet.
Like, I don't know.
Like, I haven't really decided. I'm like, I probably should watch them, but eh.
I'm kind of excited about, I don't know when the next season of Daredevil comes, but I'm...
Spring.
I'm interested in that.
Yep.
I'm not really, there's a lot of stuff that, like, it really... It's strange that all the stuff that would have been, and we talked about this last week or the week before, that would have been like appointment. This is what my year revolves around.
Oh, yeah.
Now it's almost like an obligation, you know? Well, like Batman vs. Superman, man. Like 10 years ago, I would have been like right the front of the line.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, Batman vs. Superman is going to be so awesome.
And now you're just like, well, I'll be there.
See it. Mostly because, you know, not mostly because you want to see it, but like if you didn't want to go see it, I'm not sure how heartbroken I'd be about not seeing it.
About not seeing it.
Suicide Squad is another one that's coming.
Suicide Squad, which I really have little to no interest in right now.
You're going to go see it, though, right?
Well, yeah, I'll go see it, but I just don't know what you're saying.
Yeah, that's how I feel. Like, I kind of want to see it, because I'm sort of curious, but, like, I'm not really. Like, so there's a lot of films that are just on that kind of, I want to go see it, but...
Yes, I agree. Boo Curly says, what are you wearing? Well, Boo, you've just turned the podcast awkward and uncomfortable.
Why?
Because I'm naked.
Wow, that is awkward and uncomfortable. Yeah. My eyes are bad.
I know.
I just thought you were wearing like a really wrinkly suit.
Oh, no. Ooh. Just think, that's what Carrie's got to look at every night.
Oh, well, she's a saint. Or perhaps her eyes are pretty bad, too. I don't know.
She does have glaucoma.
Ooh, eek.
Yeah. I'm a sexy beast.
Okay. Fair enough.
Ring Flash says, do you guys have insurance for your collection in case of fire or water damage?
Yes.
We should.
We should, because Carrie had to scoop out the well that the sub pump's in for almost 2 hours the other day when the power went out, and there was so much water hitting Illinois that this thing filled up quicker than you could blink.
Yeah.
Like, she wasn't making a dent in it.
Yeah, so it was bad in my place, too.
Yeah, we probably should. Like, completely. Carrie and I have talked about it before, but we've never really pulled the trigger. We should at this point.
And you'd have to get it appraised, and it'd just be, I don't know, it seems like a pain in the butt.
It does.
I kind of have it in a generic sort of, like, it's in my insurance, but it's in a generic sort of, not a specific way, but, like, if something happens, I can get money.
Right.
If I want to pull that, I mean, my thing is I don't like using my insurance. Just because, like, I don't want my premiums to go up. I have that in case something really epically horrible happens.
Right.
Like, the roof comes off.
Yeah. True. Which it sounds like your house is getting close to the
roof. Well, yeah. Although, technically, because I had the roof, I had part of it fixed this summer.
Yes.
I'm like, oh, please, let that guy know what he was doing. And
yes. Ben Fink says, any recommendations for a spaceship for the Transformer Collector Club Marissa Fairborn to pilot?
Oh, I meant to... Can we skip to the next question?
Yes, we'll skip down to...
And I will... Because I meant to actually look this up.
Yeah. We'll come back to Ben in a second.
I do have one.
Dave has an idea.
I do have one for you.
David Williams says, would you be interested in prequel special editions? Jar Jar is CGI. He could be replaced. No, I'm not.
Not as such. I would rather... Like, if they're going to go that route, just remake them.
Yes. Yeah, just let's just scrap the prequels and let's just redo them.
I actually read an article today that was about how, you know, the prequels, if you think about it, they're almost great movies. It's just that Lucas screws them up. And he kind of outlines how the story, you know, it's about how the Jedi have become kind of corrupt and a little arrogant. And, and if you really focused on Anakin kind of legitimately having issues with the Jedi Council rather than being a whiny biatch,
right,
you would have a kind of a great movie, you know.
True. But that didn't happen.
That didn't happen.
Didn't happen at all.
But yeah, I would rather they just redid it.
Are you ready to go back to Ben Fink?
Maybe. I'm trying to.
No.
I'm trying to find out the guy's name. Okay. The short version is that for episode 2 they had these Jedi starfighters that were kind of triangular.
Yes.
I think that would look really good with her. And there's one that I'm trying to find in particular. Is one they made them in like a million different colors.
Yes, they did.
And, oh, Say Tin, I think, is the guy that I'm thinking of. I think his was orange.
Tentacle head guy, right?
No, that's Kit Fisto.
Oh.
That's the guy who's Starfighter I keep finding.
Oh.
But I think Say Tin's was orange. Or maybe Kit Fisto's was orange. I think Kit Fisto might have had an orange one. But find one that has, like, the orange coloring, because I know there's one. And you can kind of go with that Technobot.
Yeah, so the Jedi Starfighter.
The episode 2 Jedi Starfighter, but it's one that's specific to a specific Jedi.
Yes. Because
they did specific ones for each Jedi.
Yeah.
That would be my... I mean, I also think she'd look good in a Valkyrie, but good luck finding one of those for cheap.
Yeah, true. And last but not least, Jenna Hardenberg says, what movies, games, toys, or television shows are you guys looking forward to in 2016? Which we kind of hit on.
I think we've answered like 5 times.
Yeah, we have, Jonah. I apologize, sir. We have hit on that question quite a bit. I don't know what TV shows are going to do in 2016 yet, so I've heard little rumblings and bits and pieces, but nothing solid, so...
I'm sure there'll be yet more DC TV shows.
Probably.
That'll get heavy-footed by the movies.
Yeah, probably. Which is sad, but...
I'm almost to my maximum capacity.
For superhero TV shows?
Not, well, partly, like, I'm a little worried that the guys that, like, what's his name? Krinsberg? The guy that's doing Supergirl, Flash, Arrow, and Legends of Tomorrow. I'm worried he's stretched too thin. And I would like him to focus on Arrow and Flash, because those are the ones that I like.
Very good point. Good call. Very true.
I mean, I get striking while the iron's hot, but you also just, you know, you start letting the B team take over the main stuff, and then that's when things go bad.
Right. Fair enough. Well, there you go, guys. That's going to wrap up questions for us, and it's going to wrap up this episode of Dave and DeVall's Toys and Collectibles, the last episode of 2015. Dave and I will be back with you in 2016 for
the future.
Yes. For an all-new episode, so make sure you check that out. So until next time, make sure you check out our sponsors, shellheadcomics.com, the Shellhead Comics blog, and more at shellheadcomics.com, and check us out on iTunes and Stitcher under Toy World Order. Subscribe to us and check us out on youtube.com/toyworldorder. Hit the subscribe button, mash the like button. Enjoy all we have to do, and until next time, David.
We will see you in the future, because it is the future where you and I will live the rest of our lives.
Take care, guys. The toy bar is closed for the year, guys. Peace out.